This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by an executive coach, Diane Scott. Diane's the founder of the coach, Diane Scott, Inc. She's been referred to us by a magnificent executive. It happens to be a healthcare leader, Melissa Patel, who has raved about the strength and brilliance of Diane Scott. So I'm thrilled to get a chance to visit with Diane Scott today, talk about executive coaching, what that looks like, how does it work, are people coachable or not? I mean, there's a famous saying about a lot of us, you could tell them something, but they won't listen, or something along those lines. You could always tell the person, but you can't tell them anything. And to so people, people must be coachable or not coachable. Diane, let me let you take it away. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Diane Scott, Inc. and how you got into coaching?
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Scott. It's actually quite an honor to be with a person and an organization that provides such an enormous value to our community. My name is Diane Scott, and I own Diane Scott, Inc. And my North Star really is providing leaders and physicians a means to achieve their potential. And I do this through executive coaching. Some people refer to me as a career strategist. I make a living out of really helping people figure out what they want for their current role, what they may want for their future careers, because I call myself a recovering healthcare leader. And I've worked at a university and for-profit healthcare systems, but I've been coaching for 17 years. One-third of my practice is made up of healthcare leaders, one-third is international tech companies, and one-third is physician leaders or physicians whose communication patterns are standing in the way of optimal outcomes. And we often hear them called disruptive physicians. Not a great fan of that word, but that's what they're often referred to.
And take a moment, the three different categories, health system leaders, technology leaders, physician leaders. I don't want you to rank them from least to most coachable, but give us a sense of, are there different dynamics at play in those three different categories of people? Or is it hard to generalize?
Not hard to generalize. I think that healthcare executives have a unique complexity that's unseen in other industries. It's interesting, as we saw like Amazon and Walmart and everybody try to get into the healthcare space and not doing great. It's because it's a complexity that is not seen as typical in other places. That's why having a healthcare coach that has had background in healthcare is more valuable, even though I work in the tech space, because we get those complexities. It's trickier.
And talk about sort of, you know, when you engage to coach somebody, how do they get to you? Do they get to you through their system? Do they get to you individually? And what does a typical coaching engagement look like?
Most people come through their system. I get the majority of my clients through referrals. Somebody has heard about me from another setting and, you know, wants to hear about me. And they're usually paid for by the system. A coaching engagement actually begins with identifying outcomes. Now, those outcomes are determined by the client and often are influenced by their direct supervisor or other key stakeholders. And what's interesting is those goals often will change by the end of coaching as the leader progresses. But the coaching engagements last about 6 to 12 months, and they're consisting of hour-long conversations by video or phone or in person, although the in-person wasn't that great this past year. And they are usually conducted over with the initial assessments due, such as a Hogan or a review of former other instruments. I prefer a quantitative or qualitative 360, an interview-based 360 to help provide a strategy for the leader.
And talk for a moment about when you coach somebody, are they looking for typically a specific improvement? They do something and trying to get better. Are they looking to figure out direction? Or are they trying to figure out, you know, what does somebody come to you with a general need, or they're coming to for a very specific need? And maybe talk to us about that.
Both, actually. And if they come from a specific need, it often morphs into a general need or is indicative of a bigger picture. The majority of my coaching clients aren't given to me as for remedial or remediation, like there's an issue. They're usually highly valued in employees or leaders, that people and companies want to invest in. They might have a blind spot, or they might have an area of opportunity that people want them to work on, but it's usually trajectory forward, highly valued people. Now, there are sometimes, you know, like the cases that I work with the physicians with communication issues, that I'm not the gift that they would have ordered off of Amazon Prime. I'm honored to say that almost every client that's come into me for those issues very quickly start to understand those issues as you relate to their value systems, and we're able to move on to different bigger picture career strategy and growth type questions.
When somebody's trying to prioritize their how they're going to approach their career, look at, you know, I give myself as a perfect example. I do two or three different things. And know that sometimes we'd be better off focusing more clearly on one thing. Is that something you address with somebody, you know, and how they figured how to assess themselves and direct themselves better and focus themselves better? Would that be a typical type of coaching engagement?
That's some people very often come to me with that. It's like where the intersection between passions and strengths and the reality. In other words, I'm the primary breadwinner, or, you know, I have X amount of time left in my career. And what you're also trying to establish with them is something that I call your brand. What do you want to be known for? And so if you're looking at different parts and pieces and how you need to establish that, it's individual. People take it from an individual direction, but it's really those intersections between, I call it the passions, the strengths, and the economic reality and where that they fit in order to prioritize and where to maximize your potential in each.
I mean, it really is this issue of this great balance. It's almost like a Venn diagram of your passion plus where can you support your family and make a living. I mean, you really have to intersect those both. And then people talk about playing to their strengths. How do you sort of get people to do that in a disciplined way if that's part of how you think and look at things?
I actually use a Venn diagram. It's interesting that you're picturing it. I just start them, have them list it. You know, what gives you the most energy? It's interesting. Most people like the big idea of their job, but their day to day, not so much. So it's harder for healthcare leaders to really understand what gives them energy. What is their passion? Believe it or not, that's the hardest question for most of my leaders to follow. The second is their strengths. I'd say healthcare leaders are half decent at identifying that, but it's also not only their strengths, but what they could be strong at. That's more of a challenge. And, you know, to intersect that intersection, the reality circle, people pretty much get.
How do you do that? How do you figure out, here's what I'm good at, here's what I do well, but here's sort of not a hidden talent, but here's something I could be exceptional at. I mean, I know, no matter how much I practice, it is unlikely that I'm going to become a Mozart or a magnificent musician. But how do you sort of assess, where can you be better? Where am I not anywhere near my potential, but there's an ability to be great? How do you help people assess that?
Yeah, it goes back to the what do you want? And fleshing out what values you have that align with that. How does that serve you? What type of thinking are you inclined to go after? It really is an individual piece. Like, yeah, some people love the violin and could be great at it. So, but in reality, it's not going to quite kind of fit into that. It also is a little bit of a risk aversion. I mean, I had a healthcare leadership job and I took a great big leap to become an independent trainer of people. And then I turned to coaching. That really had me facing my fears of risk aversion and bravery, things that are lifelong mindset. So I had to do a pretty close examination of myself before I can come up with a pathway or a pattern that works.
And what was that leap of faith like to go from, you know, W-2 job, let's say, where you know you're getting a paycheck every month, you know you're getting your insurance, to strike out on your own as your own business? What was that like?
Incredibly scary and incredibly brave now that I look back on it. I am the primary breadwinner of my family. So I'm glad I was a little bit naive. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. The best decision I made in my life. And why I'm also looking back on it and smiling is because I'm not a risk averse person. I started out as a nurse. That's the least risk averse as you can get. But I faced my fears pretty much head on, and it changed my life.
I mean, that's an amazing transformation, right? I mean, somebody with a core job, a core strength of a job. Talk about for a moment, nursing to executive coach. In some ways, you know, to be an effective executive coach, you obviously have to be great at what you do and be able to help people, but you also need to have a great level of empathy. So there's somewhat of a natural transition from nursing to coaches, or there possibly can be, can't there?
There can be, but there's empathy and there's an objectivity where you separate that and a non-judgmentalness too. Like what you want as an outcome, I don't judge. I have a lot of clients who are very, very much into, you know, like climbing an economic or a career ladder. I don't judge that. So it's separating from giving advice on what they should be doing to really making the mark with that individual person. So it's a different type of empathy. It's more of an objectivity.
Right. It's empathy plus objectivity. It's got to be both.
Yeah.
But you do need your coaching clients to believe that you're clearly with them and supportive of their goals and helping them sort those goals out.
Especially with my physicians and the physicians that are having issues. Because once they realize that you understand their distinctions and their domains and can relate to why having a bad day for my leaders, it's a bad day. Like my coaching during COVID, I would argue was one of the toughest coachings of any coaches out there. And so it's an empathy, but it's also an objectivity that lends itself to helping a person move forward in a way that matters to them, not in a way that you think they should move forward. It's pretty remarkable.
But that's a big distinction, isn't it? I mean, you have to sort of leave some of your thoughts a little bit at the door, unless somebody's really saying something to you that really hits you just wrong. You shouldn't be going in that direction. But generally, you're trying to help them sort through what they want, not necessarily what you think they should want. And that's a big distinction, isn't it?
Sometimes. Not often, but sometimes. Because what works is what works for them. So it's particularly hard when a client comes to me with one of their leaders and says, I'd like this person to grow. We sort of have to relate it to the individual person's values in order for that to work. Like they have to want to in order to succeed, especially with the physicians.
And are people sort of, do people end up from their system volunteering to come to you? I mean, most people view it as a gift to be have the chance to work with an executive coach. Or do you have some physicians that are sort of told you have to go see her because you got to fix this? I mean, what's the mix of who comes to you?
From a healthcare executive standpoint, usually it's a leader who has found it helpful for them. And so they recommend the people that are underneath them. A CEO who has a coach gets their COO or CIO or CNO to do it. So usually from the executive side or from the IT side, it's very much a, hey, we have a gift for you. Physician leader stuff as well. The other piece is much more of you need to see Diane to flush this out. It's not working for you anymore. It's an interesting first couple conversations. I have not had an issue with physicians wanting to talk. As a matter of fact, they most of the time they request an extension afterward because we've gone past the initial presenting issue and now we're working on to career strategy and growth.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Diane, where can people learn more about Diane Scott, Diane Scott Inc., and hire you and talk to you and engage with you?
That's nice. You can look at Diane, that's just one N, Scott Inc., .com, or Diane at DianeScottInc.com. That's my email address. I'm working on a pretty ambitious project now that I'm calling the Humanitarian Executive, where I am looking at executives who are making people their priority and then they get their outcomes. But people are describing them as the best boss they ever had. On my website, I am asking people to share their stories about the best boss. And next year I'm going to literally embark on a world tour to flesh out this concept and find out how you can get greater outcomes, greater engagement, greater retention as a result of increasing the humanity and all the executives. So please share your story with me.
Well, just magnificent. Diane, thank you so much for joining us. What a remarkable leader and coach you are. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And, you know, I wanted to add in the service that you provide for my leaders is unlike any other service. If I encourage people not only to subscribe to their particular, the executive piece or the physician piece, but also subscribe to the other offerings as well. The CIO one I found fascinating. It really serves as a way that we can quickly and daily get a test of what's going on out there without a lot of effort. So I can really thank you for that.
Thank you very much. It truly is a labor of love, and then always trying to find the intersection of labor, love, and being able to pay the kids and take care of the family and all those things, but a constant challenge.
It's
and
a good Venn diagram.
It really is. No, and we preach it to our children, this passion, finding your passion, but also finding, make sure it can support your family. But no, we really, really enjoy it. It's a fascinating to get to visit with people, and everything's one degree of separation. You were referred to us by one of my favorite executives. Mm-hmm. And so it just is a great, great pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Great talking with you. Bye-bye.